Welcome to Creators. This week, don't wear shorts to the office. Notes on personal preferences at work. The questions this cast answers are, why can't I wear shorts to the office? How do I dress up if the rest of my team are dressed casually? And what do shorts have to do with personal preference?
Now listed on our website at manager-tools.com/training, you'll find multiple virtual effective manager and virtual effective communicator sessions. Register for one, express interest in others, and check back often. We're adding new events all the time, and we hope to see you there.
Sorry, we picked this title somewhat controversially.
A little bit.
Just to kind of get some attention. We are actually going to talk about shorts in the office, but we're also going to talk about personal preference and use the wearing of shorts as a proxy for that. And we know that in Silicon Valley, in the startup culture, shorts and a hoodie and flip-flops is your uniform. That's what you wear. And maybe that's okay in the unicorn startup world, or even not the maybe in the zebras. I don't know. What do you call things that aren't unicorns? Anyway, in the rest of the startup world. But there are some negatives to dressing this way, especially when your company goes from like 5 to 500 people. And we want to help you understand what those negatives are and how they might be applied to the larger picture of personal preferences.
Absolutely. So today's outline, we're going to start by saying or talking about elaborating upon the fact that it's not really about shorts. Then accepting that people are drawing conclusions. Next, a thought experiment to help everybody kind of put it in context as a way to think about it. Then we'll discuss your intentions and that they don't matter, and then instead choosing your dress.
I hope everyone's going to stick with us because it's some that's some manager tools putting it out there. So the first part is it's not really about shorts. It's not really about wearing shorts to work. It's about personal preferences at work and what's appropriate and how those personal preferences are perceived. Personal preferences meaning the way you dress, the way you keep your desk, the way you work, the things you say, the way you say them. And we're all for personal freedom and doing what's comfortable, doing what makes you most productive. But in a company, in an organization, it's not all about optimizing for one person. It's about optimizing for the whole. And some of your personal preferences may not help the entire team or the entire organization be as productive in the way that it makes you more productive. You can see if we can make you more productive and you're 10% of a team, then we've made some improvement. But if we make the whole team more productive and it's 10 people, then we've got 100% improvement. So it's a real, I guess it's a weighing up of your personal preference versus the optimization of the whole. And the other thing about this is that you have to remember that the people who can hire you and fire you, decide how much you're paid, decide which projects you're working on, decide what you get to do all day, those people draw conclusions because we all draw conclusions about the way people dress. And we're going to talk about that in the thought experiment. But it doesn't matter. Human beings naturally look at people and say, you're my tribe, you're not my tribe. Because it's a way of identifying enemies or danger, and we're hardwired to do that. And so people look at other people and they draw conclusions. They draw conclusions about the clothes you're wearing, the way you keep your desk, the way you write, you know, the way you do your work, what you say and how you say it. And some of those choices that you make are perceived negatively. Some are perceived positively, so those are the ones we want to keep, but some are perceived negatively. And so we're going to use wearing shorts as a kind of stand-in for personal preferences and think about not only just your comfort, but optimization for the team and also the way that your personal preference might be perceived by others.
Absolutely. And listen, like a knee-high tailored pair of shorts with a belt is absolutely acceptable. For example, a golf pro in a hot climate, right? In some cases, a tailored suit with shorts for men is acceptable in the fashion industry. and even police officers in many countries. And our show notes say hot countries, but I live in Canada. We're not a hot country. And our police officers are wearing bikes and have a shorts uniform option. And there are many times when shorts are appropriate, acceptable, even mandated in some cases. When we're talking about people wearing shorts to the office, though, they're rarely talking about those kinds of shorts, right? It's not shorts isn't the problem. It's the type of shorts.
Yeah. We're talking about something much more casual. We're like cargo shorts with like a whole bunch of pockets or board shorts.
Right.
And the way that you wear those is not with a shirt and a tie tucked in like the policemen do. Although I'm worried that your policemen have bikes. Do they not have horses anymore?
No, they do not. They have bicycles. Well, where I live.
It's a worrying development. Usually, if you're going to wear those kind of shorts, then it's a t-shirt and flip-flops. So it's not just that your knees are showing, but also right. your toes. And, you know, t-shirts can show things that you wouldn't normally either. And people that wear those kind of clothes or want to wear those kind of clothes to the office say they're more productive when they're comfortable. Or they'll say, the quality of my work, it happens irrespective of what I'm wearing, which I hope that most people through quarantine have learned that when you're working from home, it's much better if you get dressed. You can wear pajamas, but actually the quality of your work goes up when you get dressed. So what people are doing is placing a premium on being an individual, and they're saying, I want to assert my individuality. I want to assert my personal preferences and use the way I dress to express myself, which is okay. That's fine. That's like one part of the argument. But the counter argument is the downsides of doing that.
Absolutely. There are downsides as well. So what we're going to talk about next then is accepting that people are drawing conclusions. The downside is that the people around you draw conclusions about what you wear and in turn extrapolate information from your appearance and what that means for your work. The more senior individuals in your organization are thinking that asking someone to modify their habits out of respect for others in the organization is not an assault on your personal individual freedoms or on your psyche. It's a reasonable accommodation made by every one of us within the organization to benefit from the productivity gains that we have by working together as a singular unit. And the work we can achieve as a unit. To expect that individuals tailor or change their dress in order to be more productive in that group unit, in that group setting, right? Improving your dress, being more than just casual, is a sign of respect that you're sending to others in the organization. It says your professionalism. Right? It says you're respectable and you're kind to the others around you. It's not just about you, you're a professional. And this data that we're gathering from seeing one another and the way we behave and the clothes we put on in the morning are a behavior is something that, as Wendy mentioned, we've been doing it for thousands upon thousands of years. We assess an individual, their appearance, and we then extrapolate from that information the type of individual they are.
We also tailor our behavior so as not to follow our personal preferences a lot anyway. For example, you don't go out on the street, you know, in a bikini and expect to go into Walmart or Target or wherever. Because they have rules about what you can wear and what's acceptable in a shop or in a grocery store. And, you know, okay, so you'll find cases where, you know, there's always people of Walmart or there's, you know, the Target that's next to the beach. And yes, people are in there in a bikini or in swimming things. You can find all of those examples, which is fine. But for the vast majority of the time, most of us put reasonable clothes on in order to go into a store, even if those aren't, you know, personal preference wouldn't be to wear those clothes. I live where I live, it's 103 today, and I could quite happily go outside with less on than I have on now, but the police would be called. So, you know, it's not like the rest of your life you exert your personal preference all the time. And, you know, we all have people we live with who have preferences for what we do, and we change it there. It's not like you're giving up your authenticity. It's just about being able to live in a community, you know, live in a family, live in a community, live in and work in an organization. And if you are saying my personal preference overrides everything else, then you're saying that you're just being disrespectful of everybody else. There's this group agreement that this is the norm, and when you don't fall in with that, then you are being disrespectful. And not speaking out against things that are wrong is not what I'm saying here. I'm saying, you know, like wearing ultra casual clothes to work when maybe the standard is higher. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about super wrong things.
Exciting news. We're now offering our effective hiring manager as a presenter-led virtual delivery. We've heard from many of our client companies that they are hiring right now due to reprioritization and retooling of products and services. Since hiring is the most important strategic thing effective managers do, we want to help prepare your team to interview for success. Interview and hire candidates that raise the bar and contribute to the future of your organization. Learn how to create and ask behavioral interview questions, how to listen, probe, and evaluate. Learn how to capture results from these interviews. We'll work with up to 30 people for $15,000 in 2 3.5-hour long sessions. All attendees receive the interview creation tool as well as an onboarding checklist. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or check it out on our website at managertools.com/organizations.
Most people don't like to hear this, and they're now driving in their car arguing with us.
Exactly.
So we just want to do a little thought experiment to help you think about this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So imagine you're going to a bank, you've got $10,000 in cash and the paperwork to open an account with that bank. Now, you walk in, you go to the bank manager's office, and there is so much stuff on the desktop that you cannot see the desktop. That is, there are piles of paperwork all over the place. The only clean section of the desk is a small square where his running shoes, his sneakers are sitting on the desk, clearly going for a run at some point today. The bank manager is sitting there dressed in a t-shirt, shorts, and says, "Hey, what do you want?" Then you explain that you'd like to open an account and you have the appropriate paperwork and everything's in order. "Yeah, okay, well, just like put that stuff down here on my desk and I'll get to it just in a bit."
Yeah. So now you've got that picture in your mind of this horribly messy desk, this very casual bank manager. Doesn't sound like a bank manager at all, I have to say. Sounds like somebody who just walked in there and used his desk. But anyway, let's ask ourselves some questions. Are you convinced that your money is safe? You put that $10,000 in cash on his desk. Do you think it's safe? Do you think he's actually going to do the paperwork? Do you think that he cares about your account and giving you good service? Would you be surprised if you found out later that that bank was raided because their paperwork wasn't up to date?
Moreover, would you actually leave your money there? Or would you say, "Thank you,
I'll come back.
You know, I'm going to make an appointment and come back another day," and then just ghost and go to a different bank?
Yes.
Because you're terrified of what will happen if you leave your $10,000 there. Now, all that said, is it fair that people draw conclusions about you from what you wear and how you act at work? No, it's not. But did you do it when thinking of that bank manager? Yeah, you did. Everyone did and does all the time. It's part of our DNA to look at another person, assess them, and make a split-second judgment about their reliability, their trustworthiness, their work ethic, many other factors. We're capable of making a split-second decision. Is it right? No. Is it natural? Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like mm-hmm. it here. I'm leaving. So let's go further. Yeah. Let's imagine that the bank manager does immediately open your account, processes the paperwork, puts your $10,000 safely in the vault. And in fact, the next two interactions that you have with him are done properly and quickly. Does that overcome your initial impression? Or would you still recommend that bank? Knowing that the guy's desk is a mess, and his clothes are casual, the way he speaks is casual, he's actually doing a good job, but does that overcome the impression that you had at the beginning? It's difficult. I would say in a lot of cases, no, I wouldn't recommend that person to my friends. Or I would say, look, I'm going to tell you about this guy. He looks a mess. He looks like he's going to lose your money.
Disclaimer here, like, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But he's really okay.
Right.
And that's not the way that he wants to be introduced, probably.
Yeah, people don't want to be coached as, well, you're going to have to look past some serious flaws, but trust me, give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people to explain you that way. So when you're thinking of a bank manager, you expect them to have an empty desk, a clean, tidy office, wearing a shirt and dress pants, a jacket, a tie. When you hand them paperwork, they take it, put in a file folder, write your name on it, puts the money into a special bag, you know, that blue cloth bag that they always zip cash into, put it all together and put it in their empty out tray. Now, when leaving your money with that individual, how do you feel? Asking the exact same questions we asked last time. Are you convinced that your money's safe? Can you rely on that bank manager to actually follow through and do the paperwork? Do you feel like a valued customer, right? Do you think that this individual cares about your account and giving you good service? Would you be surprised if the bank was later rated for irregularities? And would you leave your money there? Yeah, you probably would.
It's all about impression, you know? The way you dress, the way you act, the way you communicate, and the way you do your work all play into people's impressions of you. Their impression of your competence and what they expect of you. And we literally expect more of the person who's playing the part, right? You expect more of the bank manager who is wearing a suit than the one who's wearing a t-shirt and jeans. Mm-hmm. And what's more, because humans want to be right, we look for things that make us right. For instance, if I don't like my bank manager wearing a t-shirt, I'm going to look for other reasons to doubt him.
Confirmation bias.
Yeah, exactly. If I think that a bank manager should be wearing a suit and this one looks good, then the fact that he takes 3 days to process my thing, I'd be like, oh, okay, they must do that for everybody.
There's probably a reason.
Yeah. It's like some law or something. It must take 3 days, right? Because I don't want to be wrong about the individual that I trusted. I want to be right. So I'm going to find reasons to be right.
Absolutely.
There's no real evidence, right? If the guy has a completely banked desk and he puts my money in his empty out tray, that might just mean that he's never done any work. It's his first day and I'm his first customer. There's not real evidence that he's going to be there. You know, there's no real evidence it's going to leave his out tray and go into the vault. But my brain wants to tell me, yes, I chose the right place. And so it's going to look for the evidence that I'm right.
Absolutely. When you wear extremely casual clothes, people think you take your job casually. You may be super effective. You may excel and you're incredible at your role. But if you look like you're laid back, people are going to then look for evidence that the conclusion they drew about you, that is, you're laid back, you're ultra casual in your work, is true. You can submit 49 tasks on time, but the minute you submit one of those late, the evidence that you're overly laid back about time and deadlines, as well as dress code, will be obvious. Oh, I should have known.
Yeah.
I should have known.
Should have known. Never trust a man whose knees you can see.
Exactly.
No. And here's another thought. the first bank manager, would you take that person to meet your boss or your clients, right? Would you be prepared to say, yeah, I know he looks a mess, but he's on top of things? Would you want to give him a day's warning to clean up his stuff? That's what people are thinking about you when you're wearing shorts or you're overly casual or you're doing any of the other things that are negatively viewed personal preferences. Someone is thinking, I could take him to the client meeting, but I'm going to take Sally. She's not smart, but she looks the part. Okay? And you are losing out to someone who's not as smart as you because they, I want to say play the game, but it's not that. It's just they show respect for the organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Actually, in our feedback, when we practice feedback with our effective manager group, we have a scenario that we often do. And there's an individual, he shows up late to a meeting with some customers, and the customers grumble about his lack of respect, but love his ideas during the meeting. And every manager ever wants to go toe-to-toe with me when I say, give positive feedback on the ideas rather than negative feedback on the lateness. And managers, oftentimes, they're like, no, I see those flaws, right? Mm-hmm. I see the things that are going wrong, or the, he wasn't dressed professionally, or the what have you. And so many of us don't realize that our good ideas are tarnished by our behaviors, right? Because that's the argument in this one.
Yeah.
Being late or dressing unprofessionally for a meeting with your customer is the same thing. And those types of behaviors, if done over and over again, can actually tarnish your reputation. That is, even though you have really good ideas, people don't take them for what they are, really good ideas.
And one of the other things we talk about when we talk with managers about feedback is that the why doesn't matter. So what happens is somebody will do something negative, something for which they would get negative feedback. For instance, I forgot to send an email. And then Mark says to me, when you forget to send emails, that I get problems. And so I say, I'm sorry, but I didn't have the email address, or they gave me the email address wrong. And then when I sent it, and then it bounced, and then I couldn't guess what the other one was. And I called someone else, so they didn't answer. And there's all this reason as to why I didn't send the email, right? But the thing is, I don't come into work in the morning and think, I'm going to do a really bad job today. There's this really important email today, and I'm not going to send it.
I'm not sending it. None of us do that.
None of us do that. Like, we don't come into work thinking that we're going to do a bad job. And so in feedback, the why, the what happened doesn't really matter. It's the outcome that matters. It doesn't matter whether I meant to do it or not. If the email didn't go and as a result, something else happened, something negative happened, it's the result that matters, not what I did or why I did it. You know, if, God forbid, you run someone over in your car, you didn't intend to do that. Nobody intends to run someone over, but the person who got run over is still hurt. And that's what you get punished for. You get punished for the fact that the outcome was bad, even if your intention wasn't to do something bad. And so this applies in personal preferences. You don't intend to be sending a message, and yet you do anyway, and you suffer the consequences.
Absolutely. So maybe the reason that you're wearing shorts in the office is for good reason. Like, for example, your office is super warm, the air conditioning's not great, and shorts help you be cooler, right? Being cool or a comfortable temperature helps you be more productive. That's your intention. It's a good one. We can all agree it's a good one. However, the outcome is that you don't go to a customer meeting because you're not dressed appropriately. You're not considered suitably dressed, or it could cause your peers not to come to your queue because they feel uncomfortable seeing your knees, or your boss would really like for you to give an impromptu presentation to their boss about your project, but they see you're wearing shorts and now you can't. And at the beginning of the day, your intention to wear shorts, to be cooler, and therefore develop or to deliver more productivity to the organization was a good one. But the outcome was a negative one on the entire organization. What you were trying to achieve, you actually managed to achieve the opposite.
Yes.
Right? That's why seeing your people think, back to what I said earlier, that there are reasonable accommodations made by each of us to benefit from the productivity gains we achieve by working together. That is, there's not an expectation that we all get to come to work and do what we do the way we want to do it. We make allowances, sometimes, against our own personal comfort for the betterment of the organization. And that's what this is.
Yeah. And nobody has a job where they don't interact with other people. Because if there was that job, I would have it.
Oh, me too. For sure. I would have it.
So I can tell you, I've been looking for a long time. That job doesn't exist. You always have to interact with other people. And the fact that you have to interact with them means that you have to start adjusting the things that you do. That's just the way it is. So hopefully we have convinced you that what you wear has consequences over the work you do. So now all you have to do is make a choice, like shorts or effectiveness and efficiency.
Right, exactly. Now, chances are we may not have convinced you. What that means is your quality of work needs to be notably better than everyone else's in order to overcome the opinion that they've formed about you. And the opinion that, based on your appearance, they're constantly reinforcing. The superstar maverick, we've all heard of that superstar at the office. Of course they do exist. Sadly, it probably isn't you. That is, I love you guys, but you're not the next Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk. The reason that we know those people's names is precisely because there are so few. Those are those rare people that are so excellent that what they wear is completely irrelevant, because when you're a genius, you can wear whatever the heck you want.
Yep.
The rest of us, like me, are toiling away, doing our best. So if that's the case, why handicap yourself by dressing badly? Just seems nonsensical.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, right? Like, put in a load of work to be productive, to be helpful, to do something for the organization, and then just on the other side, lose it all because of personal preferences. And the same goes for other personal preferences. Every time you assert your personal preferences over normal behavior here or professional effective behavior, people draw the conclusion that you care more about your own comfort than the effectiveness or efficiency of the team. And when we say people, we mean your teammates draw the conclusion that you care more about your personal preferences than your contribution to the team. Your boss and other managers draw the conclusion that you care more about your personal preferences than your work and your career. And your customers draw the conclusion that you care more about your personal preferences than serving them. And maybe you think that your personal preferences are more important than all of those things. And that's okay, as long as you recognize right. that there are consequences to making that decision in terms of the work you do and what you get paid for.
Mm-hmm. So, to wrap it all up, guys, there's an old saying, we all know it, dress for the job that you want. Now, you can take cues from your manager, right? Chances are, many of you work in places where your managers are also dressed pretty casually. So the answer is just go 10% more dressy than the other people around you. Right? Instead of wearing a t-shirt, wear a golf shirt with a collar, right? You might get a few comments on the first day, and trust me, from experience, you do, right? Mm-hmm. Especially, and it's happened to me over Zoom meetings before, people are like, ooh, that's a pretty fancy shirt, isn't it? It happens.
So you've done your hair.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, you look good today. But people in general, they tend to be more concerned with themselves than you and what you're wearing. They notice it because it's impressive and it quickly fades.
They stop making comments about it, that's for sure. Like it's still that kind of psychological noticing, but they don't say anything about it after the first couple of days.
Exactly. And you also can count yourself among the lucky few that know something they don't. The clothes really do make it the man.
Indeed. And the lady.
And the lady.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. Next week, we'll talk about something different.